Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SBFM Radio. This morning I have a guest, and he's been seen a number of times on SBFM television, and I believe I've interviewed him before on the radio. But anyway, Mr. Sweeney?
Yes, ma'am, live and direct.
Okay, we have a number of propositions that we need some help with because it's so confusing. I have yeses and noes on everything, and they all sound good. So I need your help.
Well, I would like to say that I certainly understand that with the 17 propositions on the state ballot, it certainly can be confusing. Would you like to start with the first one, which is Prop 51?
Well, let's see.
You tell me which one you want to start
with. Prop 51 look like it is dealing with our schools. Let's talk about some that are more crucial, and I'll come deal with them in the order of importance I'm going to try. I'm really concerned about Prop 62 and 66, which are both dealing with the death penalty.
Well, Prop 62 dealing
a little louder?
Yes, a repeal of the death penalty. And one of the ways we look at this is, what is the impact this would have on African Americans and other minorities? And obviously, the whole notion of capital punishment comes in here. And so my feeling, and the feeling of many who are part of the Black American Political Association of California, is that we need to do everything we can on Prop 62 to repeal the death penalty that disproportionately impacts minorities. And of course, if you make a mistake, you don't get your life back.
Okay, so you're saying it's best for us to vote yes on 62?
Absolutely. That is my recommendation.
Okay. Now, what about 66?
Well, they contradict one another. Prop 66 is a pro-death penalty. In other words, if we are taking the position that we need to repeal the death penalty, why would we turn around and support a pro-death penalty? So the answer there would also be a resounding no as a recommendation. Once again, disproportionately impacting minorities, African Americans, and once again, when you make a mistake, as the Justice Department's does from time to time, you cannot take it back.
That's absolutely correct about that. Well, anyway, I think that clears up a few things for me. Now, we're going to go back. I want to go back to 56 on tobacco.
Yes. Yes, that is a very, very interesting proposition. Tobacco tax to fund health care prevention and law enforcement. And we, of course, want to do everything we can to support justice. But it seems that it only pertains to 13%, and many folks are not sure, but many folks have come to the conclusion that they should vote no on this particular tobacco tax to fund health care prevention and law enforcement. It sounds good on its face, but we have others that address health care, and we have other ways of dealing with law enforcement. And so some people see this as a corporate tax grab that benefits corporations and large insurance companies. And we're not against corporations. We're not against insurance companies. But why should we subsidize them? So the answer to Prop 56, according to the Black American Political Association of California, the Sacramento chapter, would be no.
Okay, that was one of those that I was concerned about, because I'm, even when I was a heavy cigarette smoker, I voted in my office where I worked not to allow smoking.
Understood.
Because I already knew that healthy. But and I'm more concerned about our children with this. Now, they have raised the age to 21, but I don't see where the education part is going to come in and health issue parts are going to come in. I'm not understanding it.
Well, and I understand exactly what you're saying. There does seem to be some controversy, and so, you know, reasonable minds may differ, but I think you understand why we're talking about no on Prop 56. But I think equally important is Prop 57.
Okay, let's talk about that.
And that is where there are criminal sentences, juvenile proceedings, and sentencing. And what this does is allow the judges to consider letting people out who are simply incarcerated without fairness. And so this has the impact of this, and this depends upon where you are. We certainly support law enforcement, and we certainly support justice, but in this case, it gives those who are considering sentencing decisions that they don't just have to deal with the lock 'em up mentality. And of course, lock them up. Predominantly, them are folks, unfortunately, who are black and brown. And so this provides an opportunity for those who are doing well to be released under certain circumstances. And so,
but doesn't 57 also cover the minors?
Yes, juvenile proceedings. Yes, juvenile proceedings are also covered. You're absolutely correct. Juvenile proceedings are same way. So instead of incarceration, you may have judicial restoration. You may have other options besides lock them up and throw the key away. And it provides more options for the judges to at least consider this. So I think it...
Let her in. Continue, Mr. Sweeney.
Yeah, so I think that's important, yes.
Yeah, that frightened me with the trying, you know, 14 people as young as 14 years old as adults. Now, I do know we got some bad seeds, and you've seen that movie Bad Seeds, right?
Yes, we do. We have some horrific behavior, and in those circumstances, they can take other actions. We're not saying that there aren't some people who do not need to be locked up,
but we're also saying that you at least need to consider the options for people who have proven that they could benefit from being in society.
Okay, now does this also include where they're going to possibly allow people that are incarcerated and the sentences aren't that strong or whatever, and let them out?
Yes, under certain circumstances, yes. The judge then has that option. This particular proposition does give the judge the option to consider this in both juvenile and adult sentencing.
Okay, so now how should we vote on this? Yes or no?
My recommendation would be you vote yes.
Okay. Okay, now let's go to, now, 58 I'm really curious about. Okay. Because it's dealing with teaching those that don't speak English. Am I correct?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Okay. Now, I am looking back when the Ebonics situation came up.
Oh, I remember that came up specifically in Oakland as it pertained to the school board. And
right.
And this is a vote to repeal 227, California Education for a Global Economy. California Alliance for Retired Americans has taken the position that on 58 that they should vote yes. And it is interesting because the Black American Political Association of California, or BAPAC, the Sacramento chapter, has no recommendation as far as Prop 58. So it is one that is complicated. It is one that, that is complicated. But the California Alliance for Retired Americans has taken a yes position on this piece.
Okay, now my concerns are with this. Now, if we have those that are so ebonically challenged, or is it English challenged, it don't matter, would they be able to take these courses like English as a second language?
Oh yeah, I mean, I they would still be allowed to take English as a second language, but I think the emphasis is that is wanting to make sure that all are exposed to English.
Okay. Danella, do you have any suggestions here? Or how are you and the family doing, by the way? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Oh, we're doing well. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
In terms of teaching non-English speakers English, I think that that's important. But I also think that at some point as a community that we need to be looking at teaching our children other languages, especially those that are prominent business-wise in our area. For instance, the Port of Oakland is majority owned by non-American companies. And those that want jobs at the port are going to need to be fluent in whatever those languages are to not miss out on opportunities. So that's just something that I'm concerned about as well. I agree that non-English speakers need to learn English because that's our prominent language here. But I also think that we need to be looking at learning more languages ourselves, because many other countries, the students are fluent in at least three or four languages. And most of us in the African-American community are, as we spoke on Ebonics, Ebonics fluent and English fluent, and that may be it. So I just wanted to bring that to the table as well.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I agree with your very nuanced answer. And, I can only say it very short and sweet. You're right.
Yeah, I agree with her also. Now, the problem is we have to get African-Americans to understand that mastering the English language is crucial.
Well, it is quintessential. It is quintessential, both reading and writing. And I know it's basic, but those are the tools that allow us to understand and make decisions that are reasonable in a complicated world.
I agree with that.
But, you know, you got to get to Prop 54 and Prop 53.
Okay, 54?
Yeah, 54. This is a piece of or a proposition that is designed to prohibit legislation unless in print, published 72 hours in advance.
Okay.
And the theory is that you have procedural due process, that people can see what's going on 72 hours before you vote on something. But there is another side, and that also gives time for the big-time lobbyists and the big money to say, oh, no, we don't want this. So it gives them an extra opportunity to weigh in and put more pressure on our legislators. And for me, frankly, a lot of the legislation that we have that has benefited us has been legislation that we've been able to get through at the last minute and at the last second. And I'm certainly not for changing that process. It's not a pretty way we make the legislative sausage, but it is what we do. And I know that the Black American Political Association of California, the Sacramento chapter, has voted no on that proposition. So
okay,
that's Prop 54.
Right.
The California Alliance for Retired Americans has come up with the same position. No on Prop 54. In other words,
on 54.
Right. Yeah. No on Prop 54. And I think we are certainly aware, as you said, 55, we are aware of the tax extension to fund education and health care with Prop 55. And so the position there on Prop 55 is yes. And it would continue the success of Prop 30. that requires the wealthiest of Californians, those making over $250,000 or more per year, to pay their fair share of taxes. And these taxes from the wealthy help to protect essential senior services like home care and meal programs and adult day health care, as well as improving our public education system. And also Prop 55 also reduces our sales tax by a quarter of a cent. So that's why many of us are saying yes on Prop 55.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Now, Jerry Brown has been on the television on this Prop 53 thing. And he's saying no on that.
Yeah, and he's right. I have to agree. He is absolutely right, because basically what this says is this. It says that it requires a statewide voter approval. Now, what that is that you already have a voter you already have voter approval. But what this is this is a special interest piece. It's designed so that there's no big water issue. It's designed so that if it's a bond over a certain amount of money, it requires statewide voter approval, which would make it easier for the South to say no to the North over water issues. But, you know, we don't talk about it like that. So, you know, people don't even know what this is about. They think they do, but they don't. This is a special attempt to have us jump through more hoops than we already jumped through. And we don't like this as a precedent. And so I agree with Jerry Brown on this. And so I would say vote no. And I would also like to say that the California Alliance of Retired Americans also say vote no on Prop 53.
Okay, now let's get this carry-out bags and plastic bag stuff out the way. 65 and 67, could you just briefly talk about those two?
Well, I understand, I understand the word briefly. So, yes, okay, you know, basically, charges for carry-out bags. And, you know, some of us think we pay enough as it is. So,
and we're,
you know,
paying for carry-out bags.
Right. That's what some folks, that's why some of us have said no for Prop 65.
Charging for those bags.
To put it briefly.
Now, 67 is dealing with plastic bags. Because
it ratifies the ban on single-use plastic bags. You know, multiple use, you know, is one thing, but this is single use. And so, you know, once again, the California Alliance for Retired Americans has come out with a yes vote on that, and so has the Black American Political Association of California, the Sacramento chapter of BAPAC. They've also come out the same way. So they
okay, and then 65, that would be no.
Yeah, 65 would be no, and 67 would be yes.
Would be yes. Okay, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this Medi-Cal Funding and Accountability Act.
Okay.
What is your understanding? understanding of that?
All right, so are you talking of Prop 61, 62? No, you mean 61.
52,
right?
Yes.
So if you are talking about the drug purchases by the state at Veterans Administration prices, is that what you're talking about?
It says the Medi-Cal Funding and Accountability Act.
Okay, but are you referring, I'm trying to make sure we're all on the same page here. Are you referring to Prop 61?
No, this one says 52. And see, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it, is dealing with...
Oh, yeah, state fees on hospitals, federal
right.
Medi-Cal matching funds. Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Very, very important. We get matching federal funds into the billions of dollars, and we don't want that cut off. So that is, I'm sorry, if you're talking about 52, yes, it is absolutely a yes on 52. And Black American Political Association of California, the Sacramento chapter, has also gone that way, as well as the California Alliance for Retired Americans. And so, yeah, that's very important. Thank you, Cheryl, for bringing that up. The state fees on hospitals, federal Medi-Cal matching funds. It is extraordinarily important for our low-income folk. In some cases, it's a very important safety net. And you have both the state and federal government weighing in. So absolutely, yes.
Okay, because I was kind of confused about that, too. I didn't know how I was supposed to deal with that. Now, let's go to Prop 59.
Oh, yeah, that is an extraordinarily important proposition, Proposition 59. Basically, it calls upon our California congressional members to support a constitutional amendment to reverse the ruling of the Supreme Court in Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission, which allows corporations and big billionaires to influence and control the outcome of elections in our country. And so this is an advisory measure, and both organizations have indicated that they would vote yes on Proposition 59. This was the major decision that said basically a corporation can give unlimited funds to a side. And of course, when you're dealing with statewide and nationwide campaigns, big money can have a disproportionate impact on the outcome. And this was a major decision that many felt undermined our democracy. And so we come out with a yes on 59. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, now I have one I am very interested in, and that is Prop 64.
Well, you know, here is where I am on Prop 64, and I don't say just me, but Prop 64 is the Adult Use Marijuana Act,
right.
And it is one of the things that I consider when I'm looking at this is, who is victimized by the current laws? Two-thirds of the folks who are arrested are African American and Latino around this marijuana issue. A vote yes would eliminate significant penalties and having the families having to put up money that they don't have for their children and others. Many adults have been victimized as well for a natural kind of phenomenon. And while I'm not pushing or perpetuating marijuana, I am saying that this also is, it helps our kids get a fair start in life where they are not victimized by having a problem because they smoked a joint and having a record and starting off on the wrong foot. In addition to the fact that the medicinal qualities of marijuana in certain circumstances has been highly proven. And so once again, the California Alliance for Retired Americans and BAPAC has taken the position of the legalization of marijuana and also they feel they can use the tax revenue for other services in the state. And so, you know, it's complicated for some people. There are some people who believe it is morally wrong and some people who are looking at the practical impact and say, well, it's also wrong to lock these people up for 20 years or 15 years or 3 years behind marijuana. So it is a complicated scenario depending upon your perspective, but we've come to the conclusion.
That was the question I had. I was wondering if there's any residual, like retroactive, of letting people out of prison who have been jailed for these same infractions, like will they be allowed out or will their time be lessened based on the passage of this initiative?
Well, I think that if this does happen, that's a very good question. I think that if this initiative passes, is less of an incentive to jail people for something that is now legal. And so I do believe it would be considered by those who have to make those decisions, the counselors, the judges, and some of the lawyers who are involved in this. That's a very good. That's a very good question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I want to get on something that.
Well. Wait a minute now. I have to be fair. There are some people who feel that this will add to the to vehicle wrecks, that some people will be taking marijuana and. It may impact their driving ability.
Well, then they should do the same thing as they would do with alcohol.
There you go. I agree with you. I'm just letting you know that there is another argument.
Yeah,
I just wanted you to know there's another argument. But listen, it's your show. Let me be cool. Where are you going next, sister?
Well, I want to go to something here that really threw me off, and that's Proposition 60.
Okay. okay. Well, it is interesting. It's 60 is condoms for adult performers.
Right.
And we came out with, and when I say we, I'm referring to the Black American Political Association of California, the mm-hmm. Sacramento chapter, we basically came out with no recommendation on this, but at the same time, the California Alliance for Retired Americans took a look at this proposition, and it's interesting. They have no recommendation. And so that's unusual that both groups have decided that, hey, look, if you're an adult performer, you're taking some risks anyway. And so,
yeah.
I don't know too much about it, but they're saying you're on your own and vote the way you choose to vote.
I'm concerned about AIDS, and I think this came up because there's a number of AIDS issues around these adult films. And
that's
that
correct.
Means it's credit to a whole bunch of other people.
That's correct. I think if your analysis is on point. The question is, for some people who are in the industry, are you driving the industry to another state? Because the industry is over $1 billion industry. So the question is, as you put conditions on them, are you driving that business to other states? Or is this the kind of business that you don't care about because it's, immoral? It depends upon your perspective. But that's the reason we have the right to vote. And, I can certainly, with a concern about AIDS, I could certainly see you voting to say, yeah, condoms for adult performers. And I could also see you saying, hey, they grown folks, it's their business. If they don't have enough sense to do that, what am I doing trying to regulate them?
Well, in addition to that, I think the fact that people that enjoy those films are accustomed to seeing those performers without protection, that is a factor in a lot of the films. And so the performers themselves say, well, we're just giving the fans what they want, but at risk of putting themselves at, mortal jeopardy. So it's a matter, I think, of as well, like what commercially is going to be acceptable. If we are protected on film and it turns the consumer off, then we're losing money. And so, there's that factor to consider. I mean, I hope I didn't dance with the elephant in the room, but I just really wanted to put that out there that is one of the reasons why that factor is out there for the performers themselves, as well as for those that produce the film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in either instance, we're talking about protection. One is to say self-protection, and that these are adults and that they should know what to do to protect themselves. And then the
Absolutely.
Other one is to mandate the protection because of the issue of AIDS. And so it's complicated, but that's why we have a ballot. And so, we're free to vote however we want to vote. But I would like, if you don't mind, to move to Proposition 63.
Okay, I think I was on my way there. Yeah, I was.
Okay.
For
okay.
all actors, what they're saying. Okay.
Well, Prop 63 deals with guns and ammunition sales, and it prohibits large capacity magazines. And as you know, we have a problem culturally with guns, and we also have the Second Amendment, where folks have a constitutional right to bear arms and to protect their home and their habitation. But the question is, do you need these large capacity magazines? In other words, you don't have to have these large capacity magazines that are shooting through buildings and killing people in 3 and 4 apartments at one time and are being used in the urban streets, and that there needs to be some regulation there. And so
I agree. Now, does these magazines also, don't some of them teach them how to build these weapons and modify them?
Well, yes, some of them do. Some of them do. So that's why that when they use magazines here, they are referring to, you know, to guns. I mean, to high capacity guns and ammunition. And I agree with you. We agree with Mr. Newsom on this one, and vote yes on Prop 63, and because we have a problem. And this not only helps our society, but it also helps law enforcement not get shot up as well as our society not to get shot up. So, I mean, it has some...
Right, these kids are outgunning the police.
That's correct, because that's exactly correct. And that's why I think that this is, I don't see this as a threat to the Second Amendment. I see this as an enhancement, and so I agree with both these groups who are saying yes on Prop 63.
Okay, now what haven't we covered? We've got some children stuff going on here and some college stuff. They have the Kindergarten through Community College Public Education Facilities Bond Act of 2016.
Right, and
that's
Prop 51, and you're right, it is for K through 12 and for our junior or community colleges. And so... we both organizations have indicated that that should be affirmative or yes.
Okay. Now let's deal with, I can see where that should be a yes. I can't imagine anybody want to know that one. But anyway, 55 is dealing with something
that's,
for our children's education and health care.
Right, and we talked about 55, and we said that we agree with the yes on 55, and that's the tax extension to fund education and health care, and that's also the tax on the wealthy. And we talked about reducing the sales tax by a quarter of a percent. It maintains the wealthiest of Californians making more than $250,000 or more a year to pay their fair share of taxes.
It's supposed to have something to do with eliminating large class sizes, and then they had cut the programs of art and music. Did it have something to do with that?
Well, that is certainly one of the issues as to why they need more money so that they can mitigate or reduce those kinds of cuts. Because, yes, cutting out the music, cutting out the culture, is is a negative or pejorative impact on our children. So
okay.
you're absolutely right on that, Ms. Dockery.
I think we pretty much have covered all of them now, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Looks like we hit all 17. They can't say that we're not trying to be comprehensive.
Well, anyway, by any chance, have you been keeping up with any of the measures?
No.
You haven't?
No. The local measures are different in each community.
Right.
And so I cannot in good conscience provide any recommendation or advice on those local measures.
The local ones? I understand. But anyway, I want to thank you for calling, Mr. Sweeney, and giving us all of this wealth of information.
Well, I want to thank you for asking. And you're right, it is vital that we go to the polls with knowledge and information.
That's right. And see, I'm hoping individuals have their, you know, their sample ballots in front of them right now and was marking off this stuff. But anyway, thank you for calling, Mr. Sweeney, and thank you for calling Danella. And I will be talking to both of you guys later.
Well, you all stay blessed, and let's hope that the outcome is favorable for us all. And I hope you know what I mean at the presidential level. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, yeah, we can't let him in. Bush, call him Bush. remind me of that family. But we can't let Trump in.
Well, you said it.
You know, although I do agree we need a person that understands business, because this country should be ran as a business. We should have more money coming in than out, and that's not the case. But with him, I wouldn't trust it.
Well,
at all.
Well, you know, hey, all I can say is that I agree with you in the affirmative.
Yep. Okay, then. I'll talk to both of you guys later.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, people, I'm going to be closing in a little while. Now, I want you to continue to go to the stores and get your receipts and look at them. This is for the grocery taxes that they're saying that's not a grocery taxes. It's very confusing. We don't know. Just during this last week, they brought up that our children are eating too much salt. Why didn't they put them both there and get it over with, because they knew that that's what they were going to do? When I was talking about the sugars, I always added and salt, because they go hand in hand, and they should have put it all together there and made it clearer for us and said it specifically for that. Kids buy potato chips and soda. That's what we do. Been doing it for years, all the way up until your adult life. You buy chips and a soda. And we're going to have to look at this. What are they talking about? If for certain, if they add salt to it, we're going to be taxed on everything. Looks like that's what's going to happen anyway. But we're going to have to watch out and pay attention to what's going on around here. And look at your receipts now from the stores that you go to on a regular basis. And then see what happens after the election, especially if that grocery tax passes, which they're calling a soda tax, it appears that we're going to have to follow that money either way it go, because it's going to be in the general fund, which means that they'll be able to spend that money on anything, really. They can reallocate it all over the place. We have to have some controls on that. If they're going to be charging grocery taxes, then there should be some education there for everyone, children and all, about healthy eating, how to grow your own vegetables and fruits, things like that. If they're not going to include education and health issues with the money that they're going to collect, and it's going to be millions and millions of dollars. They've already proven it to be so in the cities that are already utilizing what they're calling soda tax. We're going to have to look deep into this. I'm not comfortable with the general fund. We've been having general fund issues from the federal government all the way down to local government for many years. They've always had some type of committee, commission, and even auditors to come in and handle these funds, and something still goes wrong with taxpaying dollars. And we're going to have to look at what's happening here and follow the money. We had a large population of people that have registered to vote because mainly, I believe, the presidential, part of it. But we're going to have to look at everything carefully. Think, use your critical thinking skills, use logic the best way we know how, because I'm sensing some trickery is going on here, because we really don't understand a lot of stuff, and that's the reason why I wanted to have someone that I knew that would be able to explain these propositions to us in a manner that we can understand. And I am very grateful that Mr. Sweeney called and said that he would do that. In the meantime, people, don't forget to vote on Tuesday, November the 8th. Vote your own mind. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again. I love you.